EA meeting, January 7th, 2009.
Holiday, happy new year to everybody. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call today's meeting to order, meeting of Wednesday, January 7th, 2009. Hoping everybody had a good break and get back to work for this semester.
Well,
I'd like to ask if there's any late additions to our agenda. Okay, we do have a guest speaker today, Mary Offerman. Well, not a guest speaker, she comes once a month or a couple times this semester whenever she can make it. Once she shows up, we'll just stop, put the agenda on hold, and get her going. The report from the chair, I have some good and exciting news that I just received from Amy. President Scorton has requested a meeting with the employee assembly.
Oh, wow. That's
crazy.
Wow. Yep. To on January 16th, it's a Friday.
That's really unexpected.
At 3 p.m.
Do you want to go?
Yes, yes. In front of the employee assembly. Here in the 316 Day Hall.
That's really a big surprise. I wasn't expecting to hear that at all from you.
Wait,
I had no clue that you were going to say that.
No.
Yeah. Jason didn't at all accidentally mention that story before you arrived.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Pat.
At what time?
At 3 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. He's going to give us an update on Cornell University budget plans, and he wants to meet with us just before he meets with the Board of Trustees. Mary Offerman will also be with him and attending. So let's mark on our calendars, January 16th, 3 p.m. here in the boardroom. And,
next Friday?
Yep, next Friday, and we'll get an update from President Scorton and Mary.
She's going to be here too, both of them?
Yes. We had a meeting with Mary just before break, and Mary's going to be answering some of the questions that Jason, Dennis, Beth, and I had. With her regarding the direction we take in support of staff during these times. She didn't answer them in the meeting, but that's the topic for her agenda with us today, so she can spread it to everybody where she wants us, where she suggests we go. We're looking for a little different direction. Not quite sure how to approach everything because it's still unknown, but as they get updates and they keep informing us, we just do our part, continue to do our part, and spread the message to everybody as opportunity arises that we are doing good. There's nothing to worry about. We're in good hands. We have good leadership. And again, just be honest with everybody. Tell them what you know. Does anybody have any questions for me? I had a good break. Actually got out of state for a little while. It was nice and refreshing. And with that, Beth, I saw your article in paw print. It was nice. So if you haven't seen this month's paw print, look at it. That has a great article in there. And with that, I'll give you the floor. We'll get a report from our employee elected trustee.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Now, you do have a meeting coming up, right?
Board meeting is the end of January.
Okay.
And so I imagine I'll have something to report.
Is that
it's in New York City, January 20, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to be a packed agenda full of, I think, some really exciting things.
Sure.
Yeah. People on the board are feeling very hopeful for some reason.
That's good.
So.
That's good.
I'm feeling hopeful too.
Yeah, well, have a great time while you're down there. Now, does the president go to those, or does he meet? He does go to those.
See,
that's the meeting he'll be at.
The full board meetings are 2 days of all day meetings, pretty much. And the president is in the room the whole time, except for maybe at the very end, maybe 10 minutes. And there are guests of the executive staff and the dean are also invited to be there as well.
That is
it. And what committees are you on? You're on buildings and properties?
I'm on buildings and properties where at the last B&P meeting, it ended early because there was nothing to approve. So that was very interesting. I'm on government relations, mm-hmm. and that's where we talk about supporting the mission of the university, the government. I'm on student affairs, and I'm on alumni affairs and development. And there's also a small group of trustees who are local. It's called the community trustee group, where we work with town down type of things.
I can't remember.
So I'm on five committees.
Well, thank you, Beth. Any questions for her? Everything she just explained to us equals busy. That's my one word summary.
Do you sleep anymore?
No, it's so interesting. And I'm still on a piece of the learning curve. And in fact, one meeting that I have coming up in January is a follow-up meeting for all the new trustees on the board, which include the new student trustees, the new employee trustee, bunch of alums, and even other selected board members. And we all meet, I'm guessing, with Pete Meinig, and he just kind of makes sure we're...
He's the chairman.
He's the chairman of the board, that we're all... You know, getting to know what we need to know.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Report from our student assembly representative. I would say that's a pass. Report from our UA representative.
No, nothing to report.
Mm-hmm. Report from EA representative to the faculty senate. Nothing to report unless it was passed on to anybody. Okay. Report, staff climate survey, steering committee representative, anything that passed on? Okay. We'll move on to our approval of our minutes for our December 17th meeting. If you notice, our meeting minutes that we approved have caught up to our regular scheduled meetings. So
they have been for a while?
Yeah, they've been doing a great job. I just happened to know that.
Well, wrong. Yes, Pat.
I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes if no one has.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second from Leon. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? Okay, with that, we will pass December 17th meeting minutes. Okay, we'll move on to our committee report. I did mention the executive committee met. We met with Mary. We've still just been trying to hash out our direction on how we can support staff during these times. Possibly holding some open forums or some information sessions once we know kind of the theme or the topic. We just don't want to have something unless there's some breaking news. We'll probably have a guest speaker, whether it be Steve Golding or someone from HR come, depending on what we want, what message we want to put out there. And Mary, again, she'll be talking about some of this when she arrives today. Any questions?
I always think it's good whenever we can hear from Golden. I mean, I think it's about 2,000 people report are under his umbrella. A ton of folks.
Maybe that's.
And you got everything from police to planning, design, and construction. They're all under his world.
And good ones.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we can start with him. Because Mary did offer that we could have some senior administration folks attend these to help answer questions. They're the experts in what's going on, and we can host it. But again, I still think we need a theme. Let's say, for instance, there was 1,000 layoffs over the holiday break, well, that might be a good theme to kind of explain what's going on with that particular event that happened. But at this point, it's just besides an information session on updates. We'd like to focus on something maybe a little more. So we'll see. I'm sure there's some updates that happen.
There are going to probably be announcements and decisions that emerge in the beginning of February.
Okay.
Oh, after them. All the, you know, every college is working on plans, and I think everything kind of culminates after the Board of Trustees meeting. So if that happens, I'm wondering if maybe somehow we should be prepared in advance, either with a space
yes.
reserve.
Yes. I mentioned that, I thought, last meeting, and I thought somebody volunteered to grab us a couple locations and times, but I may be mistaken. But it would be, I think we
what,
should.
Was it me? Did I?
I don't think it was you. I was just looking through them. But again,
yeah, it was.
I would say try to grab, if you don't mind, grab something in February, maybe for mid, late February, and then maybe something in March. And then, you're right, we do have our time.
We can always cancel them.
We can always cancel them. Outstanding. Let us know. And let us know if you need help. Okay. Any questions for anybody on the Executive Committee? Okay. The Staff Award Recognition Committee, I will be trying to organize a meeting for this month, as I mentioned last year. And we're going to go ahead and review all our open, which means not closed, applications, nominations. And we're going to try to get our first George Peter Award recipient of the year. So we will be reviewing most recent, but plus some others that have been still in the pool. So keep an ear out for updates from this committee. Okay, we'll move on to the Communication Committee. And Jason?
We have nothing to report. We have not met. But we probably will be meeting later in January, end of the month.
Any questions? So do you feel you have enough people on that committee right now?
Yeah, it seems it's pretty well staffed.
Andy Page still involved, and Kelly Chan? Kelly, I think?
Oh. He wasn't at the last meeting, but he is still involved. Yeah.
Great, excellent. Okay, I don't believe Alan is here for our finance report. Emergency grant funds.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hello.
It's your
turn. We did have our one meeting, and I think I reported that at our last meeting. We are scheduled for our second tomorrow, and hopefully everything will go well. We'll keep moving ahead.
Great. Any questions for Pat? It's a big task, and it seems like you're moving forward nicely on it.
Yes, we're getting there. And personnel policy, I will also report that we are meeting tomorrow for our first time. We will be meeting with Lauren Jacoby, who is with Staff and Labor Relations, who is the office that the policies actually come from. So our first meeting is getting underway tomorrow morning, and I will report on that at our next meeting.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, IOC Peter, anything?
RX sent me a huge pile of, you know, people in joint committees from over the break. So I'm going to look through those and, you know, check for vacancies and the committees they applied for, et cetera, et cetera. And hopefully I'll have a bunch of new people joining the ranks.
Peter, do you have a feeling for which committees? I know you probably haven't had much time to look through the pile, but do you have a rough idea of, through glancing, which committees people are interested in?
The only ones I remember off the top of my head, there's people interested in the transportation committees, but I'd have to look through them again to remember.
Okay.
I would say that there were a few who were interested in education and personnel policy. I can't remember if it was their top choice.
I was kind of hoping you would say personnel policy, Ari.
There's at least one who listed personnel policy, but I can't remember if it was at the top of her list or at the bottom.
Okay. Thank you.
And just as a refresher, where do these people come from?
They respond to word of mouth, the paw print, asking for people to the assembly website, anybody interested in any, just to get involved. other than being a regular EA member, you can get on a committee.
And Peter, just roughly, do you remember about how many?
I think it was 9.
8, 10.
Oh, okay.
Do we have any pending potential EA members?
Just Bev or Bev?
Yeah, just the one.
She can't make it today.
Okay. She's coming to the next meeting.
I just turned the heat on a little bit.
Ice
cold.
Sit next to
Brian?
Yes, Pat.
One other question. I couldn't quite hear what the question was about the EA members, but have we done any soliciting or have we received anybody interested in being on the EA? Is that what
Yeah, we have. There's one person, and she would have been here today if it wasn't for the weather, but she's definitely coming to the next meeting.
Okay, great.
And she seems very interested in joining.
Thank you.
And then also, I contacted Jim about our retreat, and I haven't heard back from him yet. I just sent him another follow-up today. His calendar looks booked for the Wednesday that we were hoping to do it on. We were hoping for two Wednesdays from today during regular meeting time, stretched out. But I'm shooting for the Friday of that week, the 23rd, to see if he's available. So as soon as he gets back, I'll let everyone else know, and then we can go from there.
Okay. And if not, as long as we have an agenda, which we would need for Jim anyway, we could always try to meet for a longer period of time, just us without a facilitator. But Jim would be great if we could just keep us updated.
Were you still needing me to wait to hear from you about the room possibly museum? Or?
As soon as I get a date from him when he's free,
okay. Then
we'll figure out the location. Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Okay. University benefits?
They have not met yet. This meeting, the university benefits meeting on the 19th.
Okay. Thank you. Employee education, Jason?
We have not met since our last meeting, but we will be meeting at the end of January as well. Probably another back-to-back communications education committee marathon.
And our charter review committee?
Leon
or Pat?
We haven't I don't believe Leon's, correct me if I'm wrong, and if Peggy's there too. I don't think we have anything yet scheduled for this month, but Amy, I think we were going to work on that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's open on my desk, actually.
Okay, cool. So we're getting geared up again after the break. Almost done.
Well, understandable. Again, that's a big job. That doesn't happen overnight. So, okay. I'm going to move on to old business. Committee staffing review.
Well, we talked about last time. I just mentioned it now again, so I think we can take that off.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take it off for all future agendas, and we'll just kind of, that will always be a standing thing of the IOC.
Sure. Okay. Sounds good. What's the EA, evaluating EA priorities?
Okay. Probably take that off now, too, because we'll do that at the retreat.
Okay, well, we've moved on to, unless anyone who came in a couple minutes after we started, if you had any additions to our agenda, new business. Okay, well, we can move on to open forum until Mary arrives. I'll throw that out there. We don't usually get this type of opportunity, so I believe this is good. Concerns update. I went fishing in North Carolina and on a boat and didn't get hit or anything, but it was fun.
Did you catch a fish?
Nope, nothing. Almost went to the supermarket to buy something to bring home and say I bought something.
So is the retreat that's coming up soon, is that replacing the retreat that's done in the summer?
No. Remember last year we were at my house? And
yeah,
we had a
half-day
retreat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We were just going to do something.
Right.
Instead of going anywhere, meet longer one day here and try to... Right?
Possibly the museum.
I would think our main topic for that, and Jim can help us with it, is to reassess our goals. And possibly change them as the situation here at Cornell has changed, you know, we may want to change them. But goals don't have to be formally changed to change. But that would be one of the main topics.
So we'll give material in advance?
Yeah. If once we get the date locked down. I'll go Julie and then Dennis.
I'm just wondering if we should talk about President Horton's upcoming visit and perhaps do some brainstorming on things that we might want to ask him, or do you have any idea what the forum's going to look like with him coming in?
On Friday?
Yeah.
It was just, I believe he's just coming and meeting with us to give us updates about what's going on. Any other content or anything that he might want to pass on to the EA, I'm not sure of. It's just maybe Peggy.
Yeah, I can add a little bit. It was his office had contacted me about having that special meeting, and it's on the 16th, which is a week from Friday. It's the president's desire to meet with groups, constituent groups, prior to going to the board meetings the following week, and so it'll probably be a little. Slice of what we should be expecting to hear that's coming out of the board meeting. So I kind of view this as his meeting coming to us, and he has an agenda and things he'll want to be informing the EA about and where it's at. So it'll be informational in terms of that. So it didn't seem like the group had to be concerned about bringing any issues forward to him. He had plenty to talk about. I think it's terrific that the president thinks of this group to request a special meeting to inform the group about, you know, the status of the university and what's coming ahead in a very proactive way.
Maybe our questions and discussions can arise from the meeting.
Yeah, and so I think it would totally be based on the things that he's saying. Responding to and asking questions about or offering comments about as he's laying now.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure if you're welcome, Julie, or anybody, if you have some concerns or some questions, if there's time, the president's always open.
Brian?
Hold on 1 second. Dennis had a
comment, a possible action item for the employee assembly. That's when I attended Dennis Osika's retirement party yesterday. Dennis Osika, for those of you who don't know, has been the director of grounds here for the last 24 years. He's done a phenomenal job in keeping this place lovely. It was a very moving sort of ceremony and reception. I know that Dennis has appeared in front of this group various times during the years that he has been here. And I wonder if there would be in play somebody's heart the desire to somehow create a resolution in support of Dennis, or celebrating Dennis, or the award, that appreciation award that you have given us at various times, if you would consider that as an appropriate way to add yet another flower in this man's bouquet. I mean, he's just a super guy, much loved, leaves big shoes to fill, and has been very active in a number of not only campus landscape initiatives, but I think more general Cornell community initiatives as well. So it's just a thought to put out there. Beth, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't know how many times you've come to see the EA. Has anyone been here when he's been here?
I have been.
So he's one persistent son of a gun. For the things for the things that he really believes in, which are all what's best for Cornell and what's best for the people who work here and what's best for the students, and he's been single-mindedly dedicated to this stuff. So I don't know what else to add. I know he's been persistent with me personally related to wellness issues. But I don't know how much influence he's had over the...
Well, it's not so much an influence over the employee assembly, but just marking his 24 years of service and an appreciation for the lovely grounds and park-like setting that this campus has been kept in with really a real small, a minimal group of workers in the grounds crew. for the amount of acreage that they do.
Now, does Joe DeMarco know? I'm sure he knows him. Joe DeMarco? So when the staff recognitions and awards committee meets this month, if I can get a time that we can be there together, I'll bring it up as far as that appreciation award.
When is his last day?
His last day was yesterday.
So how?
We can.
So you're going to be meeting soon?
The plan is to meet this month.
Oh, okay.
And we can talk. We're going to be talking about George Peter Award.
I was just going to offer. I have a sample of a resolution that the students passed a number of years ago for some staff. That if you did want to pass a resolution, just recognizing Dennis, you might want to use that. You could look that over to see if that was something you want to do, and I'll give you a copy of that.
Yeah, send that out to us.
I don't think I have it electronically. I think I only have it.
Okay. And then Pat, I didn't forget about you or Gary. Anything else on this? But we can talk about it again at our upcoming SRAC committee meeting, and Peggy's going to get us a copy of that.
Peggy, could you scan it?
Yeah, I don't think I have it electronically, but I could probably put it in a PDF or something
okay.
like that.
Okay. And with that, we're going to put our agenda on hold. I'll get back to both of you, Pat and Gary. Mary has just arrived. Mary, we have Pat Mahoney from Geneva on the phone with us.
Hi, Pat Mahoney. I'm from Geneva on the phone with us.
I should have went longer. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Did you have a nice break, or were you working?
I did not work. I hope none
wow.
of you work.
No emails, right?
I didn't.
Uh-oh. He wasn't here last year.
He had to come in for 5 hours.
Nobody can work.
I did not. I did this. Couch, chair, refrigerator. Works perfectly. Anybody see any movies?
Yeah, I saw some. Slumdog Millionaire.
What did you think? I heard it was not for the faint of heart.
I thought it was incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tremendous movie. I recommend it to everybody.
Is that something playing in theaters now?
Well, it's at the Cinépolis or Fall Creek. It's not like at the... It's like a fine art.
Oh, okay.
Thing. Yeah.
It's a nice antidote to your normal Christmas feel-good extravaganza, because it's a really beautifully filmed, but it's definitely got heart and soul, and it's happy.
It's
I don't want to give it away,
yeah,
but...
It's a very good movie.
It's gut-wrenchingly happy?
Sort of.
Well,
I mean, it's sort of.
Yeah, it's not Mary Poppins.
No.
I
mean,
I heard Happy Go Lucky was really good.
It does have a musical number, though.
Huh?
Don't give it away, though.
Like Mary Poppins.
Oh, it's not a Yes Man. And that was really fun.
Yeah,
with Jim Carrey.
I've heard that.
And I don't normally like him, but it was actually another sort of fun, positive, uplifting movie.
That nobody's not Happy Go Lucky.
I did.
What did you think?
It's happy. Lucky.
I watched The Christmas Story about
that's my wife's favorite film.
Lynn, did you receive a little blurb of what we wanted to speak about?
I did.
It's pretty much what we covered at our meeting with you last month, and we just thought maybe you want to share it with the group.
So I think the economic situation at Cornell, I think, are we getting together, Peggy?
Yes. The 16th with David?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to hold on anything in detail until David comes with me. And we'll talk in more detail about the finances when he comes, if you don't mind, because he does it better than I do. But, you know, basically, the finances are, you got the letter from the president, came around to everybody. They are, whatever, if you have any holiday sort of belief system, so if there's anybody you think comes around in December, whoever it is didn't bring us anything, so, so nothing was was under whatever there might be. So it's the same as it was before. And the year is, you know, it's going to be, the next few years are going to be years of constraint. We are following the financial situation of the nation. And we're looking at ways to cut our operating costs, looking for new revenue streams, and that's the order of the day. It will be the order of the day probably for at least the next 3 years. The situation as it relates to the employees is how many people are going to lose their jobs. We have had about 60 people put on layoff notice so far. On the regular employees, about 50 of our construction workers have been let go. They are not regular workers, and so that you would think of as regular workers. We get them from the union bench. Yeah.
Is that in addition, or that's part of
that's
the
system? No, that's in addition.
Oh, okay.
So they're not employees of Cornell, but they're people we bring from the union bench. So that's why they're not counted in the 60, but we just don't have work to bring them up for. And that's because of the construction pause. So I suspect that number is going to go up. The layoff number of 60 is going to go up. Colleges and units will receive their budgets for the coming year. Those budgets will have budget cuts in them. We know that. We were told that by the provost and president at the end of the year. We'll know what those are in the next couple weeks. And people have been asked to do everything that they can to use attrition to meet those budget cuts and to look for revenue enhancements. To try not to affect staff, but 65% of our operating budget is payroll. So there's a reality to this that we can't get away from. We're looking at ways to try to avoid layoffs. We're doing that as we speak. And we'll talk about that in more detail when the president comes. How do we as employee assembly members handle questions? The best thing I can tell you is that, you know, people are pretty scared. They will ask you a whole bunch of questions. Don't speculate, but let them ask you the questions the way they ask them. I think the best advice I can give you is that people need a place to go to talk. If they're nervous and they're scared, let them vent, let them tell you what they're really feeling. You know, they are not necessarily going to feel comfortable going to their HR people because their HR people working on these budgets. And so the ombudsman is a good place to send them. EAP is a good place to send them. If they have specific questions about benefits, the only thing I will ask you, please do not try to be HR people. You don't know the HR world. Don't try to. If particularly related to benefits, send them to benefits. The benefits area is very, I don't answer benefits questions. They're very complicated. Send them to the benefits area. Get their benefits questions answered by benefits people. But, you know, folks are going to be nervous and scared, and take them in and let them have their airtime and just let them vent, let them talk to you about how they're feeling. People want to come and talk to me, you know, let them come and talk to me. If they want you to come with them, come and sit with them. You know, this isn't one of those times where you try to tell people how they're feeling isn't how they should be feeling. I mean, how you feel is how you feel. It's a good time to be really patient with people and let them have their say.
Mary?
Yeah?
Could I ask a couple questions? question?
Sure.
When you mentioned that we had a number of layoffs already implemented, do you have any numbers as to how many of those are, like, on core funds, you know, like College State, et cetera, funds, as opposed to those laid off who were on grant funds or endowments?
Yeah, most of the layoffs up till now have been either state funds or grants.
Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that the case managers committee group that it was put together through, I think, your office,
yeah,
has, I believe, are doing a great job as far as trying to manage those layoffs and trying to find positions for them who may have been on core funds and now can move to grant, et cetera. So I think as far as trying to help with those layoff candidates through the HR function, that group is really doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. I think they're really doing all they can to try to get people placed. Our difficulty, of course, is that there's a hiring pause on, so there's not a lot of jobs getting posted. And the jobs that are getting posted are very, very specialized. And so what's happening is that it's getting harder and harder to get matches made. And what we need is we need hiring supervisors increasingly to actually put money into training the people that are getting laid off, to train them into the new jobs. And so as the budget cuts come, they're losing the money to train the people, and so it's getting harder to make those matches. But yeah, the case managers are doing what they can to get them placed. I'm very close to having a contract signed for outplacement services.
Oh, great.
So I think what we'll be doing soon is actually moving people to outplacement companies, which doesn't feel great, right? People want their jobs back at Cornell, but I think what we're going to have to try to do is have people work with a firm to help them get jobs elsewhere. I just don't see enough jobs coming back up here at Cornell for the foreseeable future, and families need employment, so we got to get them employed somewhere. So we have a company called Wedge that's going to help us try to get people placed. I'm hoping we'll get a contract signed with them soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
Mary, in February, where the EA is preparing to have some sort of forum, and we're kind of waiting to see what emerges after the end of January and everything that's going on. You already know that from the other meetings that we have, but if anything comes up that you think would be a good idea, let us know, because you've got information that we don't have yet, and if there's anything that we can do to either communicate with people or anything we can do to engage with them for feedback, we're hoping to have some forums if something emerges, either February and March or March and April or something like that.
Yeah, I think, so here's what I think is going to happen. We have to go to the board with our plan in the end of January and for FY10, and then we have until July to get the budget for FY10 in order. So what's happening now is all this hurry up and wait, right? I mean, this is almost the worst possible thing, because people know the budget's coming. They know it's going to be less than it was this year, but they have no idea what that means, right? Is that 5 people? Is it 10? Nobody knows. And really, the leadership doesn't know yet either, right? Because nobody really wants to let anybody go. I saw the planning letters. I read them. No one wants to let anyone go. It's very interesting to see, because this is not an organization that's so far from a typical corporation. This is just not a place where people go, oh, no problem, I'll just lop off 10% of the place. It isn't just that David doesn't want to do it and I don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do it. So people are just looking under rocks trying to find ways to save money without having to let people go. And so there's just a general angst at the leadership level trying to find a way to get these budgets in line without letting people go. And so there's this general sense that they know they need to bring the budgets in line and no specific plan about how to do it. And, you know, maybe in retrospect we shouldn't have been quite as transparent as we've been about the budget problems so early, because people are like, come on already, just do what you have to do. And a lot of time is going by without people knowing what that really means. And I think maybe that wasn't the brightest move. But, you know, we promised transparency and openness and honestness. We're being completely transparent and open and honest, and there's no detail yet behind it.
I think people still appreciate that. I hear that left and right.
And it gives people time. Not that we want all employees to go start preparing, but it does give people, no one's blindsided. The honesty that has been given to employees in this community is appreciative.
Well, and I will say that all of this time, spending is going way down. So what's happening is that everybody knowing we have financial problems, people are actually spending a lot less money. And so it is having the desired effect. Folks are making, you see very little food at meetings. You see very few people spending money that they don't need to spend. That is all having, it may seem small, but it is the cumulative effect. You know, that stuff starts to add up all across the whole campus. You just don't see the kinds of things, excesses that you used to see, and it's just adding up all over the place. So in the end, that goes on long enough, it really does make a big difference. And also, you start to say to people, look, we're just not going to print that anymore. I mean, the president says all the time, that's a person's job. He said, he'll walk right up to somebody who says, I don't want to do that. He says, that's a person's job. I mean, argue with David. Okay. They say, okay. All right. We won't print it.
I always thought the cost savings and efficiencies committee that was established, I'm sure, be very beneficial in the future. But if each area had their own as a suggestion, because the workers, myself and Leon and AAP, we know how to save money. We know what happens in AAP on an operational level versus a higher committee. So that's a suggestion that might help.
Yeah, well, I just read their report, and the ideas that people came up with were fabulous.
Yeah.
And what we do, I mean, we're still trying to figure out, I got it on the 23rd of December, and between my couch and my refrigerator.
Yeah, you said no report.
But it's, it's a fabulous report, and there was just 700 suggestions came into that. So anyway, I guess the point I'm trying to make is in the next few months we'll figure out what all of this means. But people are worried, and I don't know what the numbers will be. I don't. And I'm still feeling as though there are ways we can do this where folks can make other choices. We won't have to do as much involuntarily. I still believe that. I do. And I do think that as soon as the economy lifts a little bit, we'll have regular, normal attrition to use, and we'll be able to leverage that. I'm an eternal optimist that way. I hate letting people go. I always will. So what suggestions do you have for our direction in supporting the concerns of the staff in the future? I mean, I told you, I think be open, listen, get out, make yourselves available. I don't think big open forums are the way people are going to really talk. I think make small group meetings or make yourselves available one by one. It is very unlikely that the average everyday person is going to come to a big group meeting and tell you their most innermost fear in front of people. You'll get, the same people that you speak in those big open forums. Not that that's not valuable, it is, but the person who's got a real, serious concern, make sure they know you're by face, put your faces up, walk around, make sure they know you, maybe do little tiny things, whatever, I don't know. I mean, I've been trying, not today because it's kind of slippery, but I've been trying to walk around by myself a little more, because usually I walk with someone else. I try to walk around the campus a little bit more just so people can see me and maybe stop me and say something. just, you know, and then just let them, just don't, you know, if somebody says that they're nervous or they're scared or, you know, have you heard anything or whatever, just let them say it without, you know, tell them what you know, be honest as they, and, you know, take their name, give them a card. Be as honest as you can be. Suggest that they talk to somebody. You know, normally I like to try to, you know, tell people not to worry and everything's going to be okay. But if that's not true, then don't say that. If they say something really that is over the pale, more than it should, if they say something that sounds like they might harm themselves or something, get them to EAP. You know, in the scheme of things, the correction on the staff side is very small. I mean, in real terms, we're talking about at most, you know, 5 or 6% of the staff, at most. I would guess. I mean, I don't really know that, but I would guess.
Does anybody have any questions for Mary?
Mary, I have one more quick one. For the medical college, how are they being affected by this hiring pause, freeze, layoffs, et cetera?
Yeah, they have a slowdown there too, but their financial situation is completely different from ours. They have about a $12 million ongoing problem, $12 million ongoing problem on about a $1 billion operating budget, so much smaller than ours, about a $55 million current year problem, but their slowdown is all on the administrative side, because remember that their mix of money is completely different from ours. So their clinical side is their revenue side, so they're actually stepping up some hiring on the clinical side because that brings in money. So they're handling it very differently than we are.
Yep.
So they've actually got a ton of jobs open right now. Because they've got to step up some of that clinical, and their projection for the future actually looks pretty good. Even though not all of healthcare does, they don't do a lot of sort of cosmetic and what you would call
non-essential
surgery. They're much more of a primary care type of an essential surgery medical center. So they don't suffer the ups and downs of the economy the way other areas do. So their outlook looks pretty good.
Yeah, another question for you. Has there been an uptick in the number of people that move on to EAP?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't. Our data shows, our health claim data shows a slight uptick, but we have a high mental health usage, always and always have. All universities do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird?
Well, no, but that's actually. Well, no, wait a minute.
Wrong. You
should follow up with that a little bit.
Yes, actually, I will, because that patterns the education.
Yeah.
The highly educated populations tend to have a higher usage of mental health care.
Well, they just take advantage of the service.
It's yeah. Because, well, okay, now I'm going to use my, now I'm going to be, I'm going to apply a bias. But there's less of a stigma to the usage of mental health care provision. So the more educated you are, the less stigma you have associated with the usage of mental health. So you tend to be less worried about going to get your mental health care needs taken care of. So it attracts education. So you tend to be more highly educated in university. We also have a very high usage of cholesterol drugs.
Mary. Yes. I have another quick one.
Yeah.
The governor is talking about now increasing the age for coverage for children.
Yes, to 29. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How, if that is passed, how do you think that'll impact? I know you're not a benefits person, but how do you think that would impact the university and our distribution of benefits?
Yeah, it will. It will. He's talking. I thought he was just talking about it in the provision of health care for the state covered plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll increase the cost.
Yeah.
Would there be any impact if? And I'm not saying everybody can afford to do this. Probably a lot of people can't. But in terms of saving jobs, if there was a missed payday, say a week's pay was not paid, would that be any substantial thing in saving jobs?
Yeah, I mean, all of those kinds of things, furloughs, all those kinds of things save money. Mm-hmm. The problem with all of those, so we're looking, for example, this year at low or no salary increase.
Right.
We're seriously considering that this
right.
year. All of those are one-year fixes. So the problem with them, although we're they're short-term. So you can do it for 1 year, but you can't. They don't fix the problem. They just forestall the problem. And so... You know, we're seriously looking at the SIP for this year because, you know, we're because this year's upon us and we're just trying. I keep saying sooner or later this is going to break. You know, so you just hold on to as many people in jobs for as long as you can until the situation breaks. I mean, my philosophy on this is you just keep as many people employed for as long as you can, and sooner or later, the economy will pick back up. I mean, that's my view. And then while you do that, you start to move people into the work that you need to get done. That's not a uniformly held position, but that's my position on the non-academic side. I take no position on the academic side. I don't understand what they do on the academic side, so I don't opine there. But on the non-academic side, I know the growth patterns. I know where we've grown, and we haven't ballooned. Everything that we've grown in, I can explain. I know why we've grown. I know what people are doing. So it's hard for me to look at the work and say, well, we can easily do without the people who clean on West Campus. Well, I don't want to clean West Campus. You know, we need somebody to clean West Campus. We need people to raise the money. Those are the development people. We need people to put in the system. That's where all of our growth has been. So I keep saying, I can see where everybody is. I know what they're doing. You know, are there a couple of jobs here and there? Sure. But I keep thinking that if you can realign people to getting the work that really needs to get done, and hold on to as many people as we can for as long as you can, the economy will pick back up. So, you know, these one-year solutions, you just got to hope it doesn't last very long or you run out of time.
I guess this is a question. You're talking about realigning people's positions. So, for instance, people's job descriptions become more expanded because they take up. How will that impact their actual job description itself and their banding, if they're picking up more responsibility than they previously had in terms of positions if things are becoming more?
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, then you'd pay them more. But if we had more money to pay them, then we wouldn't obviously be in this situation in the first place.
But for the long term, if that... Again, if people are expanding their positions and taking on more responsibility, then for the long term, ideally, I know myself, I wouldn't want to suddenly have my job change so much that I'm doing something, you know, so completely different or assuming much more responsibility that without, you know, some kind of review. I mean, how does
right. Well, I think the jobs will have to be reviewed and realigned. And if we're ending one whole position and pushing it into other jobs, then we should still be able to change the pay of jobs and save money.
So that's something that should be going along tangentially as opposed to
right. But I think the more important thing to do is end work, as opposed to just crunching it into other people's jobs. Because ultimately, there's still only so much time in a day.
Right.
So rather than just asking people to do more and more and more, the harder thing to do is to stop doing something and ending bottom level work and moving work smartly into people's jobs. Now, that may still change the level of work someone's doing, in which case their jobs may be reduced. But, you know, I think we have to be, people have to be realistic about the situation that we're in. And then I think supervisors have to be realistic about the fact that people are not going to do jobs that are vastly higher level than what they're being paid for. So it's a compromise.
Right.
But I think that there is ample opportunity now for employees to realign their effort to priority work. But first, leaders have to define the priority work. And that's what I don't think we've done very well yet. I think that the first thing leaders have to do is define the priority work of the institution. Before employees can put their effort towards it, they have to know what the priority work is. You can't be sent in 15 directions and be told they're all priority. You have to actually know what the priority is. Then you can work on it. And that's what, even in my own organization, that is our work. We do that so badly in OHR. Everything is a priority. Every single thing we think of is the most important thing on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, the things we think of are really important on Wednesday. And you just can't work like that. And so people scatter their energies all over the place. And the result is just fragments of work. And so I think this is a great opportunity for the leaders of the organization to decide priorities. And then employees to really focus their energies on priority work. And then for us to once and for all define jobs in the priority areas. I think this in a way is a blessing, because people just need to start to get their, we need to strip the chaos out of the organization and start doing the priority work. But that starts at the leadership level and works its way down. And that takes planning and it takes effort.
If efficiencies are going to be created and like different work is going to be stopped, is there going to be a communication method to the faculty that will understand this? Because sometimes, you know, I was just trying to apply what you're saying to my own department and trying to think, well, if we want to start doing things differently or we're going to stop doing things, you know, faculty have a backlash to that, or will they partner with us in this cost savings? I'm just wondering how the message will get delivered to the faculty and have their support or understanding or...
Well, I think the faculty are always the unknown in anything, right? Because they sort of orbit in their own way. So they're the least reliable cog in that wheel. On the other hand, they'll be affected by this too. This is really not a tinkering with the organization's resources. This is a seismic shift. So unlike anything I've ever been, I've been in universities for almost 30 years. I've never seen a realignment like this. So there's no part of the organization that's going to be unaffected, and that includes the academics. So they won't have the same freedom to do what they've done either. So I kind of feel like, I mean, it's not going to happen like that, you know, but this isn't a one-year problem. I mean, we're going to be doing this year after year after year, and they will have to change too. So I think over time, I just feel like over time, and probably by the middle to end of next year, I feel like people will just calm down and begin to realize this is the way it is. And either people are going to have to calm down and relax a little bit and I don't just mean at Cornell, just generally, this country is on, like, we're like a wound-up rubber band. Just calm down, deep breathe, relax, and stop acting like we're on the cliff of a, you know, ready to jump. And start, just relax a little bit. And exactly breathe. And, you know, this is you're home run once in life here. And relax a little bit. And I think we'll start to see people acting that way. And I think the faculty, too. I really do. I mean, maybe, like I said, I tend to have a little bit of an optimistic view about things. But I think it's the silver lining of all of this is that, you know, we were acting in helpful ways at all. And I hope and believe that that's the positive of all of this, is that people will start to treat each other and their workplace the way it is. It's where we work. I mean, just where we work. Not everything. And I just, that's how I'm choosing to see this. And people will get their work lives in some more healthy box over here. Seat, refrigerator, couch. Not by my refrigerator. But I don't know. You know, who knows? Like I said, this is something new for me. But I think the faculty may be the last ones who get it, right? Because I kind of think their refrigerator is over in their work box. But.
Sorry, I had you've been talking about redefining work within particular units or organizations and where maybe a few positions might be shaved off. And then you've been talking a little bit more about redefining work from the top. And it seems to me that in President Gordon's message out to us, that he indicated that the senior administration and the provost would be looking at all of Cornell's programmatic areas, determining which ones really were no longer either in a good position to be considered competitive, mm-hmm. and maybe having to make some hard choices about whole programs mm-hmm. disappearing, not just a few people within a particular program.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about how those decisions will be made?
Well, those are not going to happen right now, but that'll happen over time as the provost, you know, and the deans and the president work on academic program reviews and. Those are longer, much longer term sorts of things that they'll review in the course of time.
Okay. Yeah. But there could be some disruptions in work as a result of that, for example, with a program that is deployed, it's been around for 20 years, but really has sort of outgrown its usefulness. If that program is dispatched, then there are workers
sure.
or employees in there.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Mm-hmm.
So that's something we should expect or something that we believe will be rolling out in time.
One really never knows. Mm-hmm. You know, one really never knows. But those are not, that's not an unusual thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, PAM was created that way in human ecology, right? They took, what was it, something economics and social policy, right? They closed the Department of Nursing or... I mean that we forget that in an academic environment those kinds of changes happen all the time. It's just that they don't happen fast, so your memory for them goes away. You know, whole departments go away. You know, they morph and they close, and centers close, and institutes open. But recently, all you've seen are it's just that in the last couple, we're so spoiled in the last few decades. I mean, we've just forgotten what it was like. But, you know, there were decades where all that happened at universities were closures. 70s and the early 80s was just marked by constant closures. It just hasn't happened recently.
Well, within the past, what was it, 5 or 6 years, our college almost went away.
Well, they looked at it, right?
Yeah.
But it was just not a time when that was happening. It seemed so foreign here, right? When they advanced that notion, because what was the last time anybody even thought of that around here? Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel, you know? But in fact, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it just takes a long time normally to decide it. I think the last, I think it was like school of nursing, I think, was the last one closed here. So, you know, those are, I think, those are the sorts of things that, that are very reasonable and that you'll see all over this country in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years are those kinds of considerations.
Especially the ones that are tied to federal funds, state funding, external funding.
Well, funding, but also student interest. You know, students are interested in different things than they used to be. If you really take a really long, hard look at the at Cal, it's a completely different college than it was 25 years ago when it was the ag school. And we did it without closures, but it doesn't look anything like it. You know, that's in the sort of life cycle of universities. Universities are in the part of the life cycle. But, you know, I suspect it'll happen, and, you know, it's not like it'll just happen. It'll happen. There'll be planning. There'll be conversations. There'll be committees.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And we will see you on the 16th.
Yes, I'll be back on the 16th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do remember Pat and Gary both had something, if they remember now, to say, but I think that was a great update from Mary. It's kind of how I was feeling too, that there's not enough known, or not enough that we know right now to you know, accurately move forward with any kind of support. I was thinking of the Welcome to Cornell booth. Maybe we could show a bigger presence there, but I don't think they're doing big Welcome to Cornells anymore with the hiring freeze. But if anybody has any other thoughts on how we can get out there somewhere,
I feel like I kind of agree with Mary that somehow reaching out to small groups or individuals will be more effective than a big forum, because people won't necessarily show up to a big forum. If Steve Golding is there and has something to say, but she didn't mention that again, we could get people to come.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like the ecology has no representation, but it's a big area. How do we? I know our college is good, and
maybe we can go to each college and visit.
That's something maybe we should look at. Yeah. Trying to get at least one representative to attend a meeting somewhere, if we're welcome. But so Pat, did you have something before Mary arrived?
Yes. Brian, just a really quick question. I was kind of wondering, where do we stand with the expanded EA group that the president was meeting with? That kind of seemed to go by the wayside.
Expanded group.
I think they only had 3 meetings of that, and then they didn't have any plans to continue that.
So it just is being discontinued, is that?
Yeah, unless anyone knows better. It wasn't planned to be indefinite. They only planned those 3, and then if they wanted subsequent meetings, they would have to plan them again around the president's schedule.
Are we talking a year ago?
Yeah, the expanded
group. Oh, okay, because that went to 1.
Yeah.
Like when he first came,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I, you know, when Mary mentioned that he was meeting with different groups.
And then it was because she was new and he wanted to meet new people and see what the university is about, but now they're pretty well ingrained here. It's not really necessary for him to do that anymore.
Yeah, and Pat, remember that for the 16th, maybe you could suggest that again.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to revisit that group, because that was pretty good meeting.
I think, as I recall, I think part of it, I think Peter's right, that the president was new. He came from a place where they have a fairly large employee assembly type organization, and he was used to meeting with a larger group, and I think that was kind of his mindset, and did for a couple of times. But it's also, you know, I think this group has gotten larger and more active too, which has made a difference as well.
Okay.
And that, you know, he's finding that the meetings with this group are useful.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Gary, do you remember what you were going to?
Sure. Just appreciate the Peggy and Assemblies folks for fact checking something yesterday that UA
email link was getting all spun up about Milstein. And I'm at a Milstein Health project team, and there was a lot of mistakes in what this guy was sending along.
Right. Right.
And that doesn't help anybody to send out bad information, especially at a project that's been going on for a couple of years, and then people weighing in, well, I don't like the way this building looks. I mean, it's like, you know, this is like a $50 million project. We got our preliminary site plan approval from the planning board last time. We've been working at it hard. And all I'm saying is that, and especially regarding projects, we should be careful on what we're saying and how we're jumping into these things, because a lot of times there's a backstory that is a lot more complicated than how a building looks.
Right. Yeah, and I do know the John McCown, yeah. And there's another, I don't recall their name. If it did come up, their offer to come and speak with the employee assembly. This is not any, if there's any debates or heated discussions on any new projects or buildings. The best thing about Gary's saying is don't listen, make sure it's facts before you form an opinion, and to make sure it's facts, get the experts and the people working on the projects to come. They may not know what we're talking about, but make sure you know facts before you try to form opinions.
So I apologize. I should have mentioned that email that Leon also worked in architecture, art, and planning, and might be familiar with the project yesterday. I mentioned Brian was, in case anybody wanted an employee assembly member perspective.
Okay. Anything else? Pat, did you still have something? I don't know if we...
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're on time. Good meeting. Leon, I'll see you in a little bit with your computer that crashed, and I'll see everybody on Friday.
That was a no comment. I know that some emails going, but I don't have a computer.
Did you enjoy it?